Hello, America. We're glad you're here. This week on the Ad Hominem radio program, Steve makes a great point about that one thing. Curiosity may have killed the cat, but curiosity killed the dog. Lou Ferrigno's a cunt.
Yeah, he is.
And welcome to the Ad Hominem Radio Program.
A conclave of mudslingers, a gathering of fools!
Ryan looks like he's the man of the house now, because his dad died and his older brother went to prison for curb-stomping a guy.
Insults are violence!
Jeremy looks like that guy at the beginning of an amateur porn that interviews the girl, checks her ID, and then brings in his buddy with a big dick.
Insults are violence!
Which is funny, Chris. Because every time you speak, I feel you should be shaking uncontrollably and having a Sarah McLachlan song play in the background.
Insults are violence!
Steve, you look like in the early 80s Bob Ross fuck Big Bird.
Sorry, not funny!
Why not just cover me in a bucket of blood? Why not just shame me in the public square?
Oh man, I shot Marvin in the face.
Why the fuck did you do that?
Well, I didn't mean to do it, it was an accident.
You were a happy accident.
All right.
The incredible cunt.
The incredible cunt. I have a long standing feud with Lou Ferrigno. So we just watched a video of a dog getting boiled. This is Chris Paul here with Steve Mers.
Just kill it first, then put it in the water, if anything.
Yeah, the video was someone, local troll online, posted a comment about watching dogs get boiled alive.
Local bridge burning troll.
Yeah.
That's what trolls do. They're arsonists.
Under them. Yeah, anyway, yeah. So
that
was more funny before we started recording for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just gross. They just toss it in there alive, whole. I feel like if you're gonna like eat a dog, why wouldn't you cut it up like a turkey and stuff and like really put some seasoning in there?
I don't know, and they
like
look
that.
So skinny too, like they're like greyhounds almost. They're like mutt greyhounds.
Yeah. Well, the dogs are also starving if the people are resorting to eating dogs.
That's true.
There's probably
it doesn't not make a any sense though. It's like, yeah.
Maybe the people ate all the dog food first.
Yeah.
And then turned to the dog like, hey.
There you go. It's a strong economy there. Strong China, you know?
Yeah.
Just like Russia. Real strong. Strong. You know? Strength.
Strength. Man, I wish I could have. I was trying to find the audio, but I was listening to the BBC World News around December.
The Big Black Cock News.
Big Black Cock News. Fucking cuck radio. BBC cuck radio. We got to cuck in under 4 minutes of the podcast.
I am Cuckula.
Count Cuckula. What does he suck?
I don't know. Yeah.
But they were interviewing one of these Russian because there's, like, Putin, but aren't there, like, smaller warlords around the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union?
Yeah.
There were. It was one of these guys, and the thing that really stood out in the interview was how much he sounded like Trump. Was just kind of, they just say shit, and then the reporters have to deal with it, or you're fake news. You know,
yeah.
Propaganda, and they'll get all up in their grill and shit. Those guys were, what I'm saying is, those guys were really studying Trump on the campaign trail and taking on that that weird macho kind of thing and forcing their way into offices.
I don't get it.
It's like the...
We've reached a tipping point where there's enough stupid people in this country to just take this place to hell.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, for years I had been, like, saying things like, you know, disparaging things about just how stupid people are in this country. And it sounds very vain or very, like, whatever. But it turns out I was right.
Yeah.
So fuck you. Oh, it's not harming anything, Steve. Yeah, that's how things get worse when people say that shit. When they go, oh, it's not harming anything. They're just in their own little niche. Like, they're just doing... No, yeah, that shit grows. And if when you act like they don't have any power, that's what gives them power, is everybody's ignoring them until they do have enough people to create some sort of momentum in their ideologies.
Yeah. I mean, people would roll their eyes when we were all talking about how reality TV and the dumbing down of America and shit like that, but like,
no, it's fine. It's
reality
just fun.
TV is directly responsible. Like,
yeah.
They got one of their own into the White House.
Everything got shitty. Everything's about, in this country in the last 30 years at least, or at least something I've noticed, and this is obvious, but it's also like very relevant, is that companies are constantly just like cutting corners, and now everything's shitty, but is a premium still, and nothing lasts forever anymore. Everything's planned obsolescence, and like, you know, you have to buy a new iPhone. Everything's becoming obsolete, and you can't. It's just shitty. I know I'm very blank, like very general when I'm saying this, but I mean it's true.
Yeah, things are designed to fall apart so that you have to replace them.
And it's like, nothing is the way it used to be, where things would last forever. I mean, things change so much, too. There's that technology keeps, like, exponentially, like, changing. I should say, you know, technology keeps doubling its capacity every, like, 10 years. Or was it every year or every 10? I don't know. But, yeah, it's kind of alarming.
Well, it's a weird thing, right? Because the like socially, we've come, like, things have really advanced.
Yeah,
and
it's jarring for the Trumpers. The change is what's got Trump in office. Things are a little bit jarring. Some people have resorted to being like, almost like taking this country hostage. Like, no,
yeah,
I don't care. And I'm gonna go to hell, or like I'll take this place to hell with me, like. Yeah. And that's like hijacking a plane, but instead of a plane, it's a country.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, if I can't have it my way, even though my way's fucking dumb as shit,
I'm gonna run it into that mountain.
Yeah, I'll run it into the mountain. What do you mean there's no God? See, that's the problem. Like, if if people are starting to become more a-religious and people are starting to see that, and they're like, well, if I can't have my God, I'm going to kill all of you since nothing matters, even though things do matter. And they just don't understand how to intellectualize the vacuum of religion. They can't understand. Like, this is just a theory of mine too. It's not like I'm not trying to be authoritative here, but it's probably true. But a lot of people, you know, if I can't have my God, then I don't fucking care about anything. I'll shoot everybody. Like, they have this mentality like they're not responsible for anything anymore. Like, morality goes out the window.
Well, it is a really common argument of theologists that, you know, if there's no God, people who don't believe in God, what keeps them from doing, you know, raping people or murder? It's like, because it's not cool to do that.
Because I wouldn't want that done to me, so, and I understand that other people experience life the exact same way that I do, therefore I shouldn't do it to other people's. It's actually pretty logical, but some people don't seem to understand how self-evident that shit is.
Yeah.
They think it's like, oh, they just don't know how to use their brains. And it's sad. I mean, and I understand that they're also victims of circumstance, too, but it's also, but like, it's like, how do you get through to them? Like, I don't even get it.
Well, it's a weird control thing, right? Like, a lot of that anger is, there was a video online the other day a video, or maybe it was just a picture, but it was a picture of a black woman driving away in a nice car. And this guy, the video, because he was complaining about how he watched her use an EBT card and, you know, how he can't afford a car like that. And he works his ass off. And it's like a weird jealousy thing. It's like two kids in the lunchroom going like, that guy got more fries than me. What the fuck? Why the fuck didn't I get more fries?
Well, let's see here. So that's like one, that's one instance. That's two very individual people in this case, right? So there's that. So that's not general enough to speak on a whole group of people. Yeah. But like, what kind of car was she driving?
It was just some...
just a nice car. Yeah. Something that she could have probably budgeted out, like, in his mind, better, so she could afford food if she just got a less nice car.
Yeah.
And that's his idea of why that's unfair.
Yeah, I guess they think if you're on government assistance, you should have nothing. You should just barely be alive.
I don't know. And the whole idea to them is, and that might be the underlying idea behind it, the why they do it, is to encourage you to get off of it, which is true, or at least it's, you know, they want it to be so that, like, it'll help you get out of it, or it can help you get out of it, but the idea is not to depend on it for too long.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, like, he could be right. But there's a lot of ways that he could be wrong, too. I mean, how did she get that car? I don't know. But it's hard to, like... because I can agree with that on some level, but I also don't know what... I just don't know what the details are. So I think the important thing to note is don't go judging people. You don't actually know what's underneath the tip of the iceberg there.
The only way I feel like someone would be scamming welfare is if they're, like, rich... and they're collecting it, and then they're just paying a car. Like, they're just buying a car with it.
Yeah.
Like, but otherwise, they're, like, they have a job. Not even rich. Like, they just have a job. They have plenty of income, but they just wanted an extra, you know, enough to do a car payment. So they went down and lied to welfare.
And how does he know that's her car?
Right. She could be
borrowing somebody's car.
A boss's car.
Could be a company car, but she still doesn't get paid. Like, well, it's probably not a company car, but I can't say that isn't.
You could have a job like a housekeeping or something where you're driving the boss's car to the store, and you still qualify. Like, you don't make enough to, like, you still qualify for a little bit of something.
Yeah. Yeah. The important thing is people don't really understand what's going on there. But I'm willing to concede that is not good, because why not, you know? But also, a lot of people, I can't actually cite a source for this statistic, but like a very small, like under 5% of the people that are using SNAP benefits are taking advantage of it. Most people aren't. But then again, I can't source that, so I don't take my word for it. But
yeah, well, also because if you... I mean, to really scam, like, you would have to be, like, working under, maybe, like, working somewhere that you're not reporting any income.
Yeah.
But even then, there's ways, you know, if you're in something, you know, I don't know. If you're in a house that, obviously, you're not paying for with just welfare, like, they probably know somehow or another, but...
And if you're furious about some lady taking advantage of a welfare system, and you're not furious about Trump not putting out his taxes, you've got a serious mental disorder. Well, it's just stupidity, but I just like saying that because it sounds fun.
Yeah, because even if on the lower end of society some of the people are misusing it, it's like, Jesus Christ, like, you know, they're still not rich people. Like, rich people aren't doing this.
Yeah, like, rich people are, like, fucking people over on the most monumental scale. If you want to talk about people that are taking advantage of a system, you're looking on the wrong end of the system. I mean, these people are living like shit still.
Yeah.
And you've got people that are super rich. Practically, I mean, they're hoarding and they're siphoning so much more money from, like, just... bad tax whatever it may be, like writing, like with Trump, like writing off like a failed business or something and pretty much not paying taxes for 18 years.
Yeah. Or like, bankruptcy, so you don't have to pay any of the,
yeah,
the people that work for him or whatever.
Yeah, he would ditch.
Yeah, the difference of someone that's not well off scamming welfare and what rich people do to stay rich is, you know.
What's the disease there? It's the greed. Like, when you have those people that are in the top 1% and they have, like, just that ridiculous, or it's even less than that. It's like the 0.5% that have, like, just that ridiculous amount of money that no human should ever possess for any reason, because it's actually just completely detrimental to humanity.
Yeah. It depends, like, because if they're, like, first generation, I think it's just a deep-seated fear of not having enough. And it's, like, a weird obsessive-compulsive thing where they just keep finding ways to amass
their greed,
money. And
nobody should have more than $100 million, ever. I don't think people should have $100 million. Although I can't really... It's hard to, like... What makes people's... figuring out what should be done about our like everything's after, built on a foundation. There's no rules.
After really. Several million, where you're like to the point where you own, like you have a collection of classic cars and some jets and, you know,
shit that just sucks up money because you have it, not because you even use it.
Yeah, like at a certain point, there's got to be a cutoff where it's just like you're just a psychopath.
Yeah,
like,
no, absolutely.
Because you're hoarding.
None of that provides happiness, too. That's the scary. They're not even getting a proportionate amount of supposed happiness from it. I mean, you can't. Your brain's just full of chemicals, and you're not experiencing any of that in any meaningful way. Right. It's all fucking pointless. And the only reason nothing's being done about it is because nobody wants to just take a gun and kill everybody.
Yeah.
And just, like, make everything right. Because nobody knows how to. If you make the country stupid enough, your odds of people overthrowing you are less likely, you know?
Although, I mean, the stupid people are slowly overthrowing this country.
Yeah. In a bad way.
Yeah, I guess it's just, I mean, I can see, like, if you have, like, a lot of grandchildren and you want to leave several million dollars for each, but you still...
Like, do you really care about them? Because they're not going to be even alive because of the greed, because the greed is causing the destruction of the planet. So they're not even going to exist. So this money is going nowhere. It's being just hoarded.
It's just a legacy...
It's not even going to matter in 100 years if everything goes the same way it's been going. It's not going to matter. That's the hilarious part, you know?
So, like, the only motivation could really be, like, you just want to jump from millionaire to billionaire status.
Yeah, it's status and just sheer... I bet they're very greedy and very paranoid, too.
Probably,
Or if they were paranoid. I mean, a lot of them go out in public, but... I don't know. It's just I don't know enough about this stuff, but there are things I do know, you know.
Yeah.
Just the simple fact that they exist and what would that imply, you know, like why do they have all this money? Like, that's ridiculous. Everything's fucked. Because it's weird how like 200,000 years ago we were barely humans and now we've gotten to this point and now everybody's probably going to die off.
Yeah.
It's so messed up. Because like we could have like transcended our own humanity, but instead we're just destroying ourselves.
Doesn't it seem like a ton of work too?
What?
To like keep amassing a fortune? Like I'm kind of lazy. Like I feel like I would get to a couple of million and then I would just hang out.
I mean, it's like how much do you do? I mean, work? I mean, it's not like some of them are workaholics and they're always working, but others don't do anything. It's just sort of autonomous, I would imagine.
Yeah, at a certain point, it's just...
I mean, you got people that are already taking care of it for you. They really don't deserve that money.
Like, you hire... Yeah, you're hiring...
Legally, they do, but I think morally, they don't. I think that, like... extra like beyond our legal system and our constitution and stuff. They don't deserve it. Our constitution is just flawed enough for them.
Yeah.
Or that, or I don't know. It's just like,
it's like, well, it doesn't say not to hoard all the money.
Yeah. That money should be going towards education and healthcare. Those are the two most important things, because I don't think people, either they realize it and they don't care because they're so rich that nothing matters to them anymore.
Yeah.
None of that shit would matter to me if I was that rich, because I think I'm flawed enough to fall for that shit. Yeah.
Well, you know, you also have a whole bunch of people that were that grew up in the Cold War and shit like that.
Yeah.
And there's a real fucking sense of like capitalism is pure and good, and you know, distributing wealth is satanic and socialist and communist and
yeah,
just
I mean,
an awful thing.
It's not even necessarily. It's like, well, what do we know for sure? That is it. I think people have, like, well, we don't know this for sure, but I think people have a right to health care. The reason being, it's not the fact that, it's not what people deserve, like, if people deserve health care because I think it's just better for humanity, not because they just are entitled to it. That's just, what are the implications of having health care and good education? Those are that it would just monumentally, like, help out humanity to advance, because the more people that you have that are healthy enough to just stay alive and to be healthy and just be good enough to live a good life,
yeah,
and then be educated enough to contribute to humanity to advance us to a better state of living, because the odds are, I mean, we have so many people, if we everybody was like mega educated, say everybody was educated as much as say the most educated people on the planet right now, like astrophysicists and chemists and all that, and biochemical engineers, like all that shit, like they everybody was that knowledgeable, our humanity would advance to like just an unfathomable level. We'd be able to do interstellar travel, all these things. There's a ton of implications for education, like, and having so many people, our odds of just helping like humanity like transcending itself into a next stage of just existence, you know.
Yeah.
That would be great. And we wouldn't have to work, too. I theorize that humans wouldn't have to work if we figured out a way to autonomize, you know, like, everything. Like,
yeah.
It would be kind of pointless, though, too. I mean, we're just animals, so it's really weird. It's like a really weird frontier, but I strongly believe that.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I don't know,
like,
man. This, you're blowing my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, why do we work? So we can keep a system going. It's very primitive when you think about it. If you think about how, like, in the future, well, what would happen? Well, what happened? What was going on 2,000 years ago? There was no technology like the way we know it now, unless you're an ancient alien motherfucker. But there's no, everything was very primitive, and everybody worked their fucking ass off. Everybody was super unhealthy. And everybody's dumb as shit.
And it's like, to what
end? In comparison to now. But,
and it's like, and to what end?
Just because, to keep the system going. To,
yeah.
To advance and, like, to,
right,
to better our lives. And now we're at a point where a lot of people live a pretty fucking good life.
So they're, like,
there's a point where we wouldn't have to work anymore if we had, but it's like, well, then now what? But the thing is, why do we work? Oh, well, you know, there's this belief that we have to work to get what we do. But there, if we were advanced enough with science and technology, there would be literally a way that we wouldn't have to work anymore, because technology would take care of that for us, and would also, we would live in, like, infinite luxury. You know what I mean? Like, but like I said, though, what is that? Like,
yeah,
where do we go from there? And what is happiness? And, like, all these other things. But
if you even look at the most rich, powerful people ever, like the pharaohs, like, all the work and the slavery and building that went into it, they just, all they really left was a pile of rocks in the desert that's shaped like a thing.
Oh, yeah, those are way, the people are giving way too much credit for that shit.
Yeah.
Sure, it's like a mathematical anomaly, but what is, to what end? Now it's just a pile of rocks, like you fucking said.
Yeah.
And they're all dead in there. They didn't live forever.
Right.
Something extremely fucking backwards about that.
Yeah.
It's like they did all that work, and then they die, and now they just rot in there.
Yeah.
And boom, it's
just
it's over.
Well, like, ants do the exact same shit. They just build stuff and
absolutely
die in it.
Yep. You're right. It's like their whole purpose was just to build it, and then they died, and then boom.
Yeah.
There's nothing fascinating about antiquity to me.
That's like, class system is.
I mean, for its time, it's great, and it was amazing, but it's kind of pointless.
Look at this wondrous thing they accomplished. Yeah, one really big headstone.
It is inspiring to newer generations, but so there's that. I mean, it is kind of like a thing like, oh, here's a checkpoint of humanity. But but in itself, you know, it is a feat, but it's also kind of like, now what? Like,
yeah,
it didn't really amount to much. If it were to, like, do something for humanity forever, then, yeah, it would have been a fucking... You could take a lot of credit for that. And so.
I don't know, man. Because it is, like... ants, it's like, oh, look, humans burrowed into the sand and fucking built a thing with tunnels.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very ant-like. There's nothing, there's precision to it, but like I said, to what end? It's a fucking pyramid. It's like, it's very secure. It's still here. There is something to say about that. I mean, it's still here. No one's going to take it apart.
It was well built.
Yeah.
I'd like to drive a bulldozer right through one.
Yeah. Just I figure if you're in the desert, you just build that because it's like, what else is there to do?
Yeah. You know?
So, I mean, that's fine. And they did a good job. It's great. But now it's irrelevant on some levels.
Yeah. So what are we doing here, you know?
Yeah. That's the whole thing, though. It's like, what would humans do? Well, go out into fucking space and discover things. I think that's like really the end game at this point. But a lot of people are like, tipping point. Are we going to destroy ourselves before we can even do that? And even then, like, what's the point? You know, I think it would be super fascinating to live out in space. So it's like, but then, you know, what would happen to humans? We're meant for living on an Earth with this amount of mass, or like a planet. And
I have a hard time getting excited about something like that because it's.
I feel like
it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
I die.
Right. I mean, it's like, yeah, you're right. Well, we got to the moon before we even were born, so there is that. But it's like, but you're right. I mean, I didn't go on the moon.
But there's so much stupid human shit going on. Like we don't put money into that. Like,
yeah.
Which is how we got into the subject. But
yeah.
We don't even, you know, as a government, there's no real push for space or
a lot of people
anything.
Don't understand, like, what, there's a lot of potential there, and nobody understands, like, there's a lot.
The biggest drive to technology is, like, how to send pussy pictures to people.
Yeah.
Like, that was
that's always the priority first.
One of the first telegraphs.
So Maslow's needs. One of Maslow's needs isn't, you know.
Yeah.
Going into fucking space. Although some people feel like it is. Like those really driven people that end up being astronauts. They're like, that's one of my needs. I'm like, yeah, but you're ambitious. A lot of people just want to be happy. They don't necessarily want to, like, deviate from what's.
Yeah.
There's, like, progressives are kind of like people with the personality, like, let's go into space. And then there's people with the conservative mentality, like, I don't want to fuck with that. I think I'm happy where I'm at. If it ain't broken, I don't want to fix it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's kind of like their whole, like,
Even if it is broken, it doesn't affect me, so.
They're not risk takers. They are not risk takers. They don't want to tread out into new territory, which I think is, like, not good for humanity. I mean, there's a balance there, but. I think you should have conservative people. That way, if the risk taking people die off, you still have some people left over, and so nothing gets fucked. You need that diverse, that dichotomy, so that we survive, because that's how, you know, evolution works. Like, oh, the progressives all died because they fucked up, so we still have the conservatives, and they'll live their bloodline will live on with their conservative ass genes.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But
the Travis Tritt triangle. We need it.
The Travis Tritt triangle. What was that from? Again, I forget what I said that from.
That was
Bible Belt.
Yeah, the Bible Belt.
Travis Tritt's a country singer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Travis Tritt triangle. It needs to be like, I need to find a map of the U.S. Just find three major cities, and that's the triangle.
Be like in that Chicago area. Houston to Florida.
Yeah. To Tallahassee. Or something. Something real. It'd have to be smaller. Well, that would work, though, too. It covers more ground, and it's definitely, like, conservative country, so I guess it would work.
Yeah. The red and blue map is there's a lot of red.
Yeah. But it's quality, not quantity. There's no quality there.
Yeah, well, it's split up weird because all the heavily populated areas are blue and everything else is red.
All right, if there's any conservatives listening and they're very anti, like, big city types, like, diversity types, and they're still listening, they haven't turned this off in frustration. Like, I don't see, I just want them to, like, listen to this, and there probably isn't nobody listening, but, or no, we got good numbers, right? Or how's that?
We have a small loyal.
A small loyal, as long as they're loyal. But anyways, my point is, like, I don't see why, and this, I guess this just goes back to people's ignorance, but why can't they figure out that, you know, everybody that votes blue, major city, it's not all black people, by the way. They always think, oh, the major cities go blue because it's black people. Well, there's also, like, a huge factor involved just generally of people that have more understanding of other cultures and are exposed to that, and they are exposed to new ideas in these ports, you know, these cities that are on the edge of our country that interact with other cultures.
Yeah.
They're smarter because they understand the world better.
Right.
And that's why they vote for progress. And it's pretty fucking it's pretty obvious that they're right, you know? And if you're tucked away and you're isolated, and I understand, like, their whole, like, I don't want to change their mentality, but don't fuck it up for everybody else because we all live on one planet. We can't separate ourselves and just divorce, you know?
It really is, like, Jesus Christ. If you're out in the middle of, like, Fremont, Ohio, you're not, like, ISIS isn't interested in Fremont, Ohio.
Why are they so worried? They're the most safe people that we have.
You've all got guns. Like, you're going to be fine. Why don't you let us
Nuked. You're the most likely to survive nuclear, which would suck because then we'd reset as a mostly conservative, I mean, assuming everything stayed the way it is.
If the city's got
yeah, we'd be fucked. All the knowledge that's kept in computers in big cities, all the important shit that's kept there.
Museums.
Shit needs to spread out more.
Yeah.
Even though the future, supposedly, just cities are just going to become more dense, more three-dimensional in terms of, like, mobility. And it's going to get a little bit more separated. Have you ever seen, like, movies from the future where cities are big, they're a lot more advanced, a lot more sturdy and self-sufficient, and then out in the country it's just even more isolated or more less human activity, it's more vegetated, everything's sort of recovered. I've seen this in movies, and that's kind of how I feel like humanity's going to turn out. If we're smart enough, we're going to keep our cities, you know, from harming the outside world, and the outside world is going to become much more, you know, it's going to recover, if that's possible, from all the fucking devastation. And the human population's going to go way down. However that's going to happen, I don't know. But that's all just fucking sci-fi at this point.
Yeah. A handful of diseases.
Yeah.
A zombie apocalypse.
We need education for people to figure out how to fix all our problems. If we don't have education, everybody's getting dumber, everything's going to fall apart, and we're going to all die. that's my assumption.
I told you guys at the beginning, Steve makes a great point about the one thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
I knew you would.
I hope I don't sound like authoritative, because I like to, like, I get all like foaming at the mouth, but really I don't know. I'm just theorizing, you know, and yeah. I feel strongly about it because I have facts to back it up, but I don't know everything, you know. I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to be pretentious. I just, I think about the shit sometimes, and now I have a void to like voice, like, you know, to say it.
We're in a city. We know what we're talking about. Yeah, we're in a big fucking,
yeah.
You cucks.
I think it's funny how, like, Trump supporters are like, stop whining. Like, I have a legitimate concern. Yeah. Fuck you. I have a legitimate concern. And if I'm wrong, why don't you articulate your issues here and stop calling me a whiner?
Yeah.
You know?
You're in a burning house telling the fire alarm to stop whining.
Yeah. You're a Trump supporter. You're statistically less educated. Like, do you understand what that implies?
Provable.
That's provable shit. And it just, if you're specifically not, you are an outlier. Trump supporters are in large dumb people. And I mean that in a broad sense, not in a specific level. I mean, you might be a Trump supporter, you might be smart, but I think you're on the wrong boat, and you have other weird reasons.
I'll go one. You're either stupid or a liar, because there's no way that you hated Hillary Clinton as much as people pretended to without, you know, over business ties and corruption and all that stuff. There's no way that you can hate her and be pro-Trump.
Yeah.
Like,
he's everything wrong that could be presumably wrong with her on, like, just a much more monumental scale. He's an entrepreneur. Fuck you.
You skipped right past the politician that takes bribes, and you just voted for the guy that bribes people.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you just, it's, they're part of the same loop. Like, if you really believe that she's that corrupt, there's no, you can't separate the two.
No, I mean, even if your point, oh, he only has like six, eight or something like that, failed businesses out of the, you know, hundreds of businesses that he's had, so he has a very high success rate. Even then, it's like, that's not, I mean, I don't, that's not my go-to for Trump supporters.
He failed and he kept trying.
Yeah, I'm willing to concede he's a good businessman. There's all types of things. I'm like, sure. I mean, even just for the sake of argument, I'm willing to say, all right, let's just assume that that's true and put that aside, because it's literally irrelevant when you bring up other things.
Yeah.
You know? There are plenty of like, deal breakers. Plenty of just solid deal breakers with Trump that I just do not see why people are stupid.
Even the business thing, like, even if he's a great business person, they're the problem.
Yeah.
They're the ones paying off the politicians, you know, filling the swamp that they claimed they were going to drain. Like,
you're gonna drain the swamp.
Those are corporations doing that. The guy is he's a corporation.
Yeah.
It's
not going to keep
pretty insane.
It doesn't matter how much business he brings back to the U.S. Over the last 20 years, he's been exporting business and his own ventures, and it's like all his merchandise is. My Trump wallet was made in India. I got it used, so technically, I not only did I, so I recycled, so I did nothing wrong there. That's what I'm proud of. My dad bought this Macy's wallet, you know, like just blindly, or he might have even gotten it as a gift. It's just some random shit from Macy's, and he almost threw it away, and I just took it, and I'm like, all right, this is mine now. It's a nice wallet. It's leather. It's still like, it's a good product, not going to lie. Good, solid product made by an Indian person, but, you know, and I'm not saying that it's low quality. I'm just saying it's not made in America. That's my point. It's a good quality product, but it's exported. It's imported from India or Pakistan or Bangladesh or wherever the fuck it's made. Let's see. Yeah, made in India. Donald J. Trump. Genuine leather. I could hear him saying that, like, genuine. He loves the word genuine. He loves saying inaugural, too. He doesn't say inaugural, and I think that might be... He has, like, rich people talk. You ever notice how he's a real, like, he sounds like he's got money in his voice.
Yeah.
It's like his
It's like he's got change in his mouth.
It's like the Queen's English, but it's just business English. Or like rich business guy English, where he's like huge and like inaugural.
Right.
He doesn't say inaugural because that's what poor people
he's
say.
He's got the voice of the guy that films his own commercials for local car dealerships.
Yeah, he does.
That's on, like, the guy that's locally famous for being a car dealer.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, he talks like that guy.
There's so much hypocrisy. It's insane. I'm a hypocrite often, but what's important is that you try to fix it and that you admit you're wrong. Because everybody's wrong all the time. Smart people, stupid people, doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about your reputation. As long as you're willing to fix things and admit you're wrong, that will make things better. But a lot of people can't do that.
That makes you look smarter.
Yeah, I mean, people don't understand that, like, science, for instance, is that it's ever perfecting itself, but it's never right in absolutes. Nothing is. If science isn't, nothing is, because the scientific method is the most accurate thing we have for knowing anything.
And there are people in the scientific community that you gotta drag into new ideas too.
Yeah.
Even once they've been proven, they will find reasons not to accept the data. There is that going on, but
which is fine. As long as you have critics. Because the more it stands up to scrutiny, the more solid it is, and that's how everything works. It's just an ever-perfecting thing. And that's what science is about, going, okay, this was wrong, we're going to make it better. And then they do. And it does get better. There are things that are knowable, but they're only tentative on some level about the details. But generally, when something like a theory becomes a theory, that's because all the details are becoming more and more defined and perfected. And it's always moving towards verifying it, not de-verifying.
Yeah.
It's never...
Well, or like string theory, it's like the math checks out, like, on a quantum level that it's possible.
Yeah.
But they're not saying this is absolutely it, even then.
Yeah, everybody assumes that they are, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
It's just basic ignorance of, like, the real basic shit. Not the science itself, but the way it operates. That's what people are ignorant about, and that's what's fucking up our country.
Yeah.
Like, the consensus of climate change. Like,
well, and, like, evolution, people, they use that old, that it's just a theory. Well, it's not, like, that's not how theories work. There's more than one... usage.
Theory is something that is predictable and testable. Like, you can actually, like, demonstrate it over and over and over, and it works and it works and it works and it works.
Yeah.
And just because you can't do it, make it work an infinite amount of times is the reason. You can't say it's a fact.
Yeah.
Like, and by fact, I mean absolutely, 100%.
And they can change if there's new information presented, but no one's presented...
The core of it never changes, but the details, outlying details, are always being changed and perfected.
Yeah.
And they're always re-verifying it. It never makes the whole thing fall apart, because those aren't what the details are.
Yeah, just because they might come out and say, well, you know, oh, we found out this happened a different way than we thought before, but it doesn't disqualify the entire thing.
Yeah, this whole, like, culture of ignorance is, like, really scary.
Yeah.
I don't care. Well, then fuck you. You should be put to death. You should die, because you fucking up everything. Your opinions, like, you have too much freedom in this country to be as dumb as you want, which is so sad. And I don't think we should take away freedoms, because I think it can correct itself easier than it can, or as long as we keep it the way it is, or at least the way I feel it is, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, what do you do?
Yeah. So I found, or was in contact with an old listener of the first podcast I did.
Okay.
The Idiot Box Cult, and got a hold of, I'd lost all the episodes, and bumped into someone online that had a bunch of them.
There's always some weird hermit that has shit like that. They're like, I got them all. I'm like, wow, what else do you know about me?
Well, he had a
I have a lot of your receipts, too. Oh, shit.
12 or 14 episodes of that show that I did with my old pal Brandon Heron, who is no longer amongst the living.
That sucks.
But there were it reminded me of our feud. I'd kind of forgotten about our feud with Lou Ferrigno.
Did you actually have a feud with him?
Well, I don't know if he knows, but we definitely.
It's a one-way feud.
I met Brandon on a DC Comics fan fiction website. We were both writing, you know, Batman or Doom Patrol stories and such.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people on there, we decided to make our own original comic book and started this thing called Psychotronic Comics. That was like 2006 or 7.
Oh, wow.
And so we put together, like, the first and only thing we ended up doing was a horror anthology. And Brandon and I went to the Comic-Con in Columbus.
Okay.
To sell copies of it. And there was... You know, it's a big Comic-Con. There's, you know, the D-list celebrities are everywhere.
Yeah.
Lou Ferrigno was there. I went at one part of the day, I went over to the bathroom and tried to walk in. And when I went to grab the door came swinging open. Like some big rude jerk off had pushed it open like a big shot.
Yeah.
And it hit me, and like I kind of got startled and sort of stepped around the door and ran my face into Lou Ferrigno's chest. And I didn't, like, I just looked up at him and I'm like, oh man, that's Lou Ferrigno. And I go wow, excuse me, Lou. And
you said that?
Yeah. I guess he didn't like me addressing him by his first name, because he just looked down at me and went, ugh, and then walked, like, sidestepped and walked right around me, like, boxed right around me.
Yeah.
Very rude. Very rude man. So I went to the bathroom, and I went back to our table where we were selling our book at, and started telling Brandon what had happened, and then for like 4 hours we just talked shit about Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Like, just called him, talked about his cauliflower ears and how he can't hear us and he's a big dumb piece of shit. And then towards the end of the day, I noticed that Lou kept giving us dirty looks and realized that the way that deaf people hear is by reading lips.
Yeah.
And he was, like, right across the thing from us the whole time we were talking about him. So he understood. Like, he knew what we were saying about him. Like, I could just tell by his face. And so then we were back in the next day, and we just went around to... few of the podcasts that were recording at it and talked about how rude he was.
Yeah.
And just talked a bunch of shit. And then we continued that on our podcast on the Idiot Box Cult for just for months. Probably a good solid year.
Yeah.
Just episode after episode. It was almost a very recurring thing. And at one point, I decided a fun bit would be to read Lou Ferrigno's tweets in his voice and put on a real, real heavy retard voice.
yeah.
And that was the episode I found recently, the first one I listened to, and I'm probably gonna drop. I'm gonna edit that bit into the end of the episode. So that's the setup.
That would be great.
For what you're going to hear. But, yeah. That's the Lou Ferrigno saga. But now...
you're putting the Sagna. Ends, the G yeah. and N's and everything. Ferrigno.
Yeah. The Lou Ferrigno saga.
He refuses to pronounce his name Lou Ferrigno. Which is the way you would pronounce it, I guess. But who want? I mean, in America, everybody changes it because nobody wants to pronounce things right. So it's like, I guess, I don't know. But it's just
yeah. It's it was the first thing that I listened to. You know, and, it's been almost a year since Brandon died. He was in an accident at work. And
what happened? I'm very curious. Remember when we watched those dogs getting boiled? Tell me more.
he worked under a big machine, and the safety latch failed.
Safety latch failed.
He was underneath working on it. Yeah.
Did his family sue?
I'm not sure.
If a safety latch failed, someone's getting fired.
Yeah.
Someone's getting recalled.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I should say a lot. I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
That's terrible though. Just for the record, that's very sad, and I was very sorry to hear that. I know a guy that got a I-beam, fell on his hand, and he had to have his pinky removed, and he looks like a freaking Ninja Turtle now. And it's like, he is some asshole I knew from school. He was an asshole like all the time. And he was always accident prone. He got hit by a car when I was in summer school in the ninth grade and all these other things. But something happened to him. I already knew about it, what happened, because I saw it on Facebook, like through the grapevine, you know? Yeah. So I already saw pictures of it. So I was like, ugh, that sucks. That's terrible. And then he like tried to fuck with me one day. He was like, I was over at my friend James's house, and he was over there, and he tried to do this thing. Remember in Home Alone where he puts his hand on the counter?
Yeah.
And it's all, like, messed up. He tried to, like, freak me out, like, by putting his hand in front of me, and I just, like, didn't flinch at all. I just kind of, like, acted like nothing happened. And he was, like, kind of perplexed by it. I was like, dude, I've already seen this shit. I already know what happened. Facebook tells all.
Yeah.
Yikes. So it's like, dude, I've seen it. But yeah, that Ferrigno story's nice. I mean, of all the people, I don't like Lou Ferrigno, so it's like, that's a great story to hear. It's a feel good story.
Yeah, when we went around to,
he'll never hear this, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, we pointed that out a lot on the old show.
We leaned talk real shit about him on a podcast.
We brought his kids into it at one point because he was traveling with his kids as the Incredible Ferrignos, and I remember hating that.
Yeah,
really hating that idea. But yeah, and he was also well, fuck you.
Yeah.
If you listen in now, you'll hear the other part.
We're at 52 minutes.
Yeah. So, you know. So yeah, I don't know. And then I've listened to a couple of the other episodes, and I'll probably drop like some of the bits that I thought were pretty fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes most of that podcast was it's a lot more offensive than I remember it being at the time. We did a big chunk on a big chunk of time on Carrie Fisher and how she charged how much she charged people to just go into the tent at Comic Cons. And you know, now that both her and Brandon are not around, it just seems like a really tasteless thing to put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was about the how much money it was to go in and take a picture with her versus like what you should be able to do for that much money in a tent with Carrie Fisher. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's it.
That'll do it, Piggy Poop Balls, I guess?
Yeah.
We need to really, I don't like saying that. It's like...
Well, we started with That'll Do Pig, and then the
internet sensation
came up.
Yeah, it's funny on some level, but then everybody else would be like, why are they saying that? If you don't know about the joke, like, what's the point of saying that inside joke? It just sounds gross.
Hopefully, they don't... I don't know. Hopefully, when people... become engaged with this podcast, Steve.
Yeah.
They go through all the episodes, so they
skim,
get all the...
just skim through it, like needle in a haystack. Piggy Poop Balls in a haystack.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you are a listener, tell other people to listen. And also, if you're in Cleveland, I feel if you listen to this podcast... the roast battles are a little bit more fun because you get to know
the roast battles are hilarious.
The people involved,
I laugh quite a bit. I don't laugh at open mics like that. I don't laugh at regular comedy shows like that. Stuff is good. It's quality
show.
Roasting for the most part. Some people come in and mail it in, but a lot of these people are really good at writing roast jokes, and it's very funny.
Yeah, we've been doing them for a year now, and we've found a good group of people that are pretty good at the roast, writing.
Yeah.
It's more, they say it all the time on the original roast battle show. They talk about it being a writer's showcase. That's pretty true.
Yeah.
February 4th. Steven is hosting the show.
See, that's weird. Yeah, I didn't know that was actually a thing. I thought you were just kidding. And I was like, what? And I'm like, okay. February 4th? That's cool. Yeah.
Because I'm battling Jeremy, and Ryan has pulled a Vince McMahon, and he's battling Kristen for the belt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going solo? Or what's the deal? Like,
you just host.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. I'm cool with that.
We'll explain more off.
Oh, okay.
But,
cool.
Yeah, Steve's going to host. Kristen Galewood and Ryan DiPerna. Jeremy and I are going to redo our, they don't need to know that part. We did a bunch of these jokes in Columbus last week, and we're not, it didn't go well, and we are convinced that, that we wasted the jokes there and need to do them again, for our home crowd.
Yeah.
So we're doing that, and who else? Tabitha Jones and Mike Calhoun are going to battle. And probably Cody Cooper and Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
I've got a yes from Cody so far. Haven't heard from Jimmy yet.
Yeah.
So that's February 4th. And if you want to email the show, @HomAttackShow, our Twitchers and whatnot are also in the links. The videos of the roast battle, there's always a link to YouTube in the episode description. That'll do, Pig.
If you're looking for a mate and you want to make a date with a girl that's never late, we're always at your service. Large and small ones every size. Some are dumb and some are wise. We don't have to advertise that we're always at your service.
In uniform so neat, each one demure and sweet. What we serve will be a treat. Here's a place to eat. So every time you make a call.
You're... All right. Like, what are we talking about next?
The incredible Ferrigno's.
That's right, Luke.
That's pretty epic.
Really comes back around to you every time. I mean,
yeah, he calls his kids. They go around and they do motivational speaking, And guess what they call themselves? The Incredible Ferrignos. He's fucking riding that Hulk shit so hard, like he's passing it down to his kids. And I think that we should draw new lines in this war.
I wonder if they all, like, kind of come together to form, like, one mega creature. You know, kind of like, like Voltron or something, you know? Like, they all, like, clasp on in a configuration where, like, one of them forms the giant arm.
Yeah, you know? Like the Power Ranger.
Yeah. There's a Ferrignos, the Incredible Ferrignos form one beast amongst themselves.
And it just, all it does is push-ups.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I thought it might be fun to do just a couple, like, once a week. Just read a couple of Lou's tweets.
He tweets?
Oh, yes, he tweets. Guess how all many Hulk references are in there.
Seriously?
No, I don't know. I haven't actually read them yet. I'm just getting pulling them up right now. But I did see they interviewed him outside of like an MMA fight that Brock Lesnar was in. They're asking him what he thinks of Brock Lesnar. But, like, the girl interviewed him, she was kind of, like, recapping, you know, for the, because they were, it was a separate tape or whatever. And right. she walks up to him and she goes, "Hi, Lou Ferrigno, would you mind talking with us?" At the name of the, you know, their station or whatever. And he's like, "Oh, sure, sure." So he walks over and she goes, "We're here with Lou Ferrigno and we just watched." And he cuts her off. He goes, "I know." As though she was trying to tell him instead of the camera. And he just cuts her off and he starts going on and on about Brock Lesnar. Like, she didn't really even ask him anything specifically. She was just gonna, you know, do some cutesy, stupid little, you know, "We're here with Lou Ferrigno." But he starts really going into, like, what he thinks of Brock Lesnar. And then he breaks out the Hulk comparison and starts talking about how, "I wouldn't go toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar. He's like Hulk. You don't want to go toe-to-toe with the Hulk." I'm working on a Ferrigno voice for the tweet.
It's kind of more, yeah. It's got that that kind of Deftard sound a little more to it, you know.
Yeah, we got
a little of that in there.
I wish I was wanted to figure out how to play audio, because his audio from where he's when he joined the immigrant stopping posse, like he really like they had him up and he did a little speech. And explained why he was joining it and how important it was to shoot Mexican babies.
Audio would be great.
It's not a movie set, but the Incredible Hulk, actor Lou Ferrigno, is taking on a new role.
"Gave my support for the posse because it's all about protecting the people and saving our country."
He's part of Sheriff Arpaio's Immigration Posse, MCSO's newest group of armed volunteers.
"So they will be helping us to grab those people coming into this county smuggling illegal aliens."
Sheriff Arpaio says this posse will help deputies during immigration operations. The volunteers say they signed up because they want to make a difference.
"I think we need to do something about the situation before it gets totally out of control, and I'd like to be a part of that."
"If you're here illegally, go home. You're here illegally. This is not your home."
"No racist police!"
But a group of demonstrators says it's just a publicity ploy by the sheriff.
Sheriff Arpaio isn't saying when the posse will first be deployed.
Pretty brutal, huh?
Yeah. Shocking.
Shocking evidence. Lou Ferrigno, scared of immigrants, hates Mexicans, probably eats Mexican babies for the protein.
Yeah, you don't get that big, you know, on chips.
Yeah, you don't get that freakishly large by not eating Mexican babies. Fucking
just wrap them up
evil man
like a fucking burrito.
Yeah, that sheriff is totally the guy though, right?
Yeah,
that has
yeah.
to be that posse is it, that's the fucking dudes in machete. I want to see Danny Trejo go after Lou Ferrigno. I think we could get him in our army.
Yes,
I think he would join our cause.
I know, man. If we only knew, like an angry Hispanic dude.
Yeah.
Then we could.
I'm gonna text him.
We could pit against Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, I forgot, Machete don't text. I'm gonna text Ramon the next best thing. The only other angry Mexican in the world. I wonder if I could, if it would pick it up if I called people on speakerphone.
I don't know. You could try it.
It keeps dialing instead of texting. I hate this fucking phone. Yeah, so this fucking dude's joined a posse and shit.
Right.
Really joined a posse. And isn't the big argument that they took her jobs? Like, who the fuck took Lou Ferrigno's job? CGI took it. Why isn't he joining a posse to beat up the fucking CGI?
What did the Mexicans ever do to Lou? What happened? What is there in Lou's past? Does he blame them for his hearing loss?
You want to hear some of his tweets in a Lou Ferrigno voice? It's a work in progress. I'm going to try it. Hi, this is the original Lou Ferrigno, and on Twitter... Should I try again? He says he tweeted on December 3rd.
I don't know who that was. And it was Lou.
Yeah, it's Lou. Listen, let me try it again. Hi, I'm Lou Ferrigno.
No, man, no.
That's not it.
That's that Jim Carrey character from Living Color.
Oh, it's Lou Ferrigno.
No. He was like the really ugly girl or whatever. Really mannish girl. That's totally that fucking voice. That's not Lou.
It's the same thing.
All right, man, go for it.
Let me try another. I'll scale it back.
Oh, man. No, use that voice. Go.
Let me try
just
another
go.
One.
Oh, that one's good. Just go with it.
Okay.
Pay no attention
okay,
to me.
Okay, this is Lou Ferrigno on Twitter. If I could finish.
Sorry.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno. The original Lou Ferrigno and on Twitter now with you guys. That's it, right? That's... Alright.
Yeah.
Too much?
Yeah, man,
okay,
go.
December 8th. Boy, doing 110 floors on the step mill is not fun.
Yeah, those are insightful.
My son Grant has found the lost pug today and found the owner. What a great deed. See, I think it keeps changing just a little bit. I'm not, you know, I'm not fucking Mel Blanc. I'm just trying to do one accurate rendition of the guy that we met and have seen on television.
Matt LeBlanc.
Am I getting confused with Matt Damon?
Okay.
It would be great if every one of his tweets just said Lou Ferrigno.
No.
That's all he ever tweets is his whole name. That's all he learned how to spell.
Lou. Lou happy.
Okay.
Lou hungry.
It says here, follow my kids, the incredible Ferrignos. Don't make me mad. You see, because in the show that he's popular for doing, he would always say, oh, no, he didn't say it.
Bill Bixby
would always say, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. So Lou Ferrigno, 40 years later, this is like the Andy Kaufman thing, and this is still an ongoing thing. It's just the never-ending fucking prank. I'm going to pretend to be this big retard. It's just a character I'm doing for 50 years.
Right, and then after he dies, there'll be like a video and be like, ha ha.
Yeah, his tombstone's gonna say LOL.
They fooled you guys.
Here lies Frigno, gotcha.
Ha ha.
It's a squeaky voice. It's just a recording. You go up and push play on his tombstone. And he sounds like... fucking Kelsey Grammer.
But then you have to wonder, you know, did he like hire somebody to just do the voice on it? Is it a reverse prank?
Post-ironic prank.
You hire somebody else to do the voice to say that he was faking the other voice?
Oh, here's a good one.
You'll never know. That's the genius of it.
Here's one, and this one's a little...
Lou is fucking odd. There's no... You can't figure him out.
This one.
Don't try to comprehend what he's doing.
Here's one right. From December 3rd of 2009. He doesn't seem to tweet very often. And this one's really? Sad. Yeah, this is a somber... A very special Lou Ferrigno tweet.
Oh.
Myth, yeah. Friend Michael Jackson. See, because Michael Jackson died.
Right. Right.
And they were friends.
Really?
Lou was training Michael Jackson before he went on his final tour. And I would argue that Michael Jackson's self-esteem was not helped by hanging out with a chimp and his pet chimp all day.
Right.
It was like, if I were back with Michael Jackson and I was hanging around Lou Ferrigno and Mr. Bubbles, I would have taken a whole fucking bottle of pills, too.
It's like, Jesus, this is my life. Yeah. One day he probably, it's not that he overdosed.
All this funny, this is where I'm at.
Right, one day he accidentally sobered up, right?
Yeah, he had an epiphany.
He passed out early and totally missed several doses, and he wakes up half sober and is like, oh my God.
Yeah. What? He just looked
what
at himself. He's like, I have no nose. Like, I'm not even black anymore.
I used to be black.
Lou Ferrigno is my best friend. Fuck this tour. It's over. My life is over. I can't get away with molesting kids, and I'm hanging out with Lou Ferrigno.
Doc,
fuck
come
this
over
shit.
Just inject the hell out
I'm
of
me. I'm drinking Jesus juice, Jesus kerosene.
Put the end to it all.
Gallon of Jesus gas and swallow it a match.
Jesus gas. What's Jesus gas?
I don't know, but your car runs for a really long time on it.
Yeah, you can drive on water.
And Michael Jackson committed suicide by drinking it. Lou had fallen asleep on his arm. He couldn't get out. He tried to chew it off, but his fucking reconstructive surgery made that too difficult. And he just killed himself. He just gave it. Harry Carey.
Thanks for listening to the show, and we'll catch you next week.
Yep. Bye.
She came from Greece. Bye. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here.
Are you sure?
You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Ran to Plaza Barber Shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some flags and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you never get it right. When you're lying in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all here.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Cause there's nothing
else to do.
Because
there's nothing else to do. Dog lying in a corner, they'll bite you and never warn you, look out.
They'll tear your insides out, cause everybody hates a tourist.
Cause everybody hates a tourist, especially one who thinks it's all such a lie.
Yeah, and the chip stains grease will come out in the back.
You will never
understand
how it feels
to live your life
without meaning or control. And with
nowhere
to go.
You're amazed,
you're amazed
that they exist.
And they burn
so bright,
but you can only wonder. Rent a flat to buy a shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some fags and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you gotta get it right. Cause when you're laying in bed at night watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all. Yeah. You'll never live like common people. You'll never do,
you'll never
what,
do what common people
do.
You'll never fail like common people.
You'll never
watch your life slide out of you. And dance and drink
and
screw. Cause there's nothing else to do.